Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 134. I'm sorry.
There we go.
Sorry, on a very rainy Wednesday, where it rained this morning and just rained, and now it looks beautiful.
Like
it's coming.
I picked up that dust and threw it right
in front of you. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are... Oh, this isn't going well.
Josh.
Dave.
Pat.
Adam.
And Adam's having issues. Adam always has issues.
I'm having dust put on, man.
But... Not a huge week going this week, and kind of a light week of books. I don't remember really any news other than there's a little controversy over the Milo Manara
Spider-Woman
cover. But yeah, that's in next week's previews. We'll talk about it next week when the new previews comes out. One thing I want to mention, the previews order is due, well, it's weird because it's always due it's the fourth Friday of the month. But Friday being 3 a.m. Friday, which always seems very odd to me why it's due at 3 a.m. and why you'd really count that as Friday. So basically,
it's midnight, because it's on the East Coast, right. So that's midnight West Coast time.
Right, but still...
That's ridiculous.
Making it the last Friday of the month, but Friday being, most people are sleeping during the time that it's ordered on Friday. So the order's due Thursday... by the end of the day. So if there's anything you want out of the current August previews, let me know sometime tomorrow, or when you're listening to this today, because I will not be awake when it's due on Friday. So it seems like it's a week early, and it really is a week early, and I'm sure a lot of stores haven't even thought about it yet and are going to be panicking tomorrow going, wait, it's due? So if there's anything you want, not so much comics and trades and things, but more like the action figures, statues, T-shirts, things like that, that normally once the initial orders go in, I can't get after the fact. So I had a guy come in today with the April previews wanting a bunch of stuff out of it, and I'm like, no, yeah.
So, it's only August. August, right. April, they're both 8 months.
Yeah, true. So just a little late on that.
Still starts of the day.
Yeah.
Hey, yes. At least it was from this year. It could have been a couple
years
old.
True. So, I think the last one he brought stuff was from last November. It's like, timeliness. I know Adam just watched Spider-Man 2, and he's dying to talk about that.
It's his favorite movie ever.
So, do you want to start with that, or want to talk about last week's books? Let's talk about last week's books first. That's a little more timely, so people can turn off before they have to listen to Adam talk about Spider-Man 2. No offense.
Get ready for the rant
go. Or as my 9-year-old says, all offense. So, I'll start with the three I read, because I suck. But I just last night I read Batman 34, which is basically just a fill-in issue, which I don't begrudge them in the fact that it hasn't missed a month. Like Justice League got behind in it's been the same creative team the entire time, so Capullo needed a month off. No problem. I get it. Instead of squeezing someone into the story, it's just, this is a fill-in. What I liked about it, I thought the Matteo Scalera art was fantastic. Perfect Batman art.
Mm-hmm. If you're going to get a fill-in artist, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah,
he just nailed Batman. I wanted to look up to see what else he had done, because I know the name, but I can't think of off the top of my head specifically what he's done.
He does Black Science with Remender.
Okay, yeah.
He did...
It just looks so different, not painted, I guess.
Yeah, he did Dead Body Road.
Okay, did he do... Was he the one on the beginning run of the Uncanny X-Force with Remender?
I don't know, because I wasn't reading that.
We'll be right
back.
I'm
trying to think.
No. It's
right
there. Yeah. My thing about this book wasn't really the art. It was the...
No.
I didn't think the story was that, great. I don't know, but for filler...
Sorry, that was Jerome Opinia. Okay.
I just didn't think the story was, It was,
story was fine for a fill-in story.
Yeah. Futures End month.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they were going to start something.
Well, it's going to be jumping into, and then later it's going to be jumping into...
Endgame.
I just, I don't know, I just thought it was kind of, I think that's really what it was, just jumping out of that.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bad story, maybe...
a little forgettable. There wasn't anything special about it. The only thing I didn't like, it seemed like the Leslie Tompkins stuff didn't feel right.
Yeah, and you know, I was a little. Wasn't she just introduced the New 52 and Grayson? Like, or was she introduced before?
No, I think it was in Red Hood and the Outlaws. She was introduced.
Was she introduced in that? She seems to be all over the place. That's the only thing. Because like, I know she wasn't Grayson.
The conversation he was having with her in the beginning, I don't know, it stood out. It didn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
And then having her in there, I don't know, it just didn't serve. But the other issue I had with it, and this is a really nitpicky thing, is, I mean, we do spoilers, right?
Yeah.
So towards the end, whenever he, you know, tricked the guy and the guy came and thought he was confronting Leslie Tompkins, and it was Batman wearing his usual mask.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I get the mask thing.
No.
But how's Bruce Wayne or Batman going to have the same, like, body
yeah, hand, arms, supposedly everything.
He hid
yeah.
everything as under Leslie. A lab coat.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
No, I agree woman. Completely. Like, yeah.
Too far.
Yeah.
There was something. I feel like it was either an animated something or... Oh, no, that was... It was Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns. Remember when he dresses up as, like, this little old woman?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's just right. like, and then all of a sudden it's just like,
at least like, Batman. At least that, I could believe, you know, somehow holographic, you know, projection.
Yeah.
But the guy grabbed him when he was Leslie Tompkins. If you grab, you're going to feel it's not Leslie Tompkins.
Yeah.
So that was that was the only thing.
I agree.
That doesn't make
sense. That plot point didn't work at all. What I did like was the two-page spread that tied it, that referenced everything going on in Batman Eternal.
Yeah.
I like that because that's really the first book that's tied into that story. So I did like that. I like the only thing I did find odd was like at the graveyard, he's there with all the cops, and none of them were trying to take him in, even though he mentioned at that point that the cops were against him.
Especially because in Detective right now too, him and Bullock aren't exactly buddies.
Okay.
So,
but again, it was a fill-in issue.
Yeah.
So, but it wasn't great. But I thought it was decent, and I don't have a problem with it.
And that wasn't written by Snyder either, I think.
It was written by Snyder and Jerry Duggan, who's doing Deadpool, which is bizarre.
What they do anymore, they say story by, and then Snyder written and then by.
Yeah. So he gave the idea of the story,
it's the same as Batman Eternal. Yeah. Batman Eternal is not really written by Scott Snyder.
Yeah, he just does
He's a big part of the story, yeah.
Duggan's writing Hulk now, too, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He's taking Hulk.
He's writing everything. Thinks he's Rick Remender and...
Charles Soule.
That's good job. That's exactly who I was going for.
I'm here to fill in.
Thank you. I appreciate it. The other one I read, Original Sin. Yeah, kind of had to read that.
Yeah.
Good, interesting. My only problem with it is there's one more issue. And there's a whole lot of questions to be answered in this last issue.
That's been Marvel's problem for forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, specifically, who killed the Watcher? How they're going to catch the person that killed the Watcher?
Yeah, I thought we would get to that in this book, and then the next book would kind of be the aftermath.
Yeah. What's the point of Dr. Midas and Exterminatrix? I don't understand their purpose in the books
at all.
That's a
really stupid name. Exterminatrix.
Yeah.
I think Morrison created that in Marvel Boy.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But, so I just don't... I don't know where this is going.
It's probably Onslaught Red Skull. It's going to tie into Axis.
I'm not reading this, but it seems like it's the same thing with all these other Marvel events where it starts off strong, but then it gets to a point where it's like, how's this going to end? And it's kind of weak.
The weird thing, they called it Original Sin, and then everything, you know, everybody has one. That was the promotion the whole time. And none of that has happened in that book. It's been in the other books a little bit, but it's not even an Original Sin of these characters.
Yeah, because Spider-Man's there was another person bit. Well, that wasn't Peter Parker's fault. Right. He didn't step on the spider. Not,
but Thor had a sister that's older than him. How's that Thor's fault? Yeah.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be like their original sins. It's supposed to be they figure out somebody else's sin. So in this case, it was, I'm pretty sure it's either Ezekiel of holding the girl or something.
Okay.
Spider-Man. It's Daredevil's mother. It's Hulk sees Tony Stark's original sin. They see sins. So you're not... experiencing their sins, you're experiencing.
But just the whole everyone has one kind of.
You learn a secret, basically, yeah. is what it is.
Well, I didn't get the one with Thor anyway, because.
Maybe
Thor
it's his dad's sin.
Thor was wielding the hammer and everything's going
good. Oh, that, yeah.
Yeah, he whispers something, so what? Because he forgot it was his sin, then, you know, now. Remember that time you did this? Oh, now I can't pick
he's
up
like,
the hammer.
What?
Well, I think part of my problem is, one, Thor didn't even hear what he said.
Yeah, he's like, huh?
And second, we don't know. And the last time they did this was the Mary Jane Lucifer or Mephisto thing. So it's like, so now we have this mystery of what did he say? And they'll play that up for a while. And it's just...
You're all infected.
Yeah. But it's just kind of a tease where we don't know.
We don't know what she said, did we?
They, no, they although something, and, somebody, I guess in the trade it was reprinted and you could read it, yeah. and it basically said, I will remember everything or something.
Yeah. Well, do you remember,
and they completely forgot that.
They did another, they did like a, that was like a two-part story, like, a little later on, he did a story that had Quesada art, remember that? It was called something.
Yeah, that was Omit, One Moment in Time.
Omit, One Moment in Time, yeah. And I don't know if they ever... put that in there or whatever, but
yeah, I read the first issue of that and it was really confusing.
Yeah,
only because they were merging it with the wedding issue and adding panels.
Okay,
and I'm just like, I don't know what's going on.
I'm so confused.
Yeah, so it wasn't a bad issue. It was definitely interesting with Fury and all that, but yeah, and because we still need to set up Bucky as Fury's replacement, we got to figure out what's going to happen to Fury. We still have to find out who did it. What. You know, do they catch him, or does that take place in the annual that we don't know anything about?
Does he die?
So, yeah.
Well, supposedly he is dying.
Or are we going to get an Original Sin 8.1.2.3? You know.
Numbers don't matter
anymore. Thor actually defeats the beast in 7.3, Fear Itself.
Yeah. Is he going to fight that dragon creature, that the serpent, again?
Maybe. But yeah, just because
it was his original sin, we never saw it. Yeah.
You're assuming Nick Fury did it, but then it was kind of clear that he didn't do it after, what was it, the orb shot the Watcher, but didn't kill him, and then Nick Fury shows up and kind of had a little joke because he was missing the same eye, saying, "What, are you mocking me now?" And then all the other Watchers show up, so...
It was Fin Fang Foom.
That guy.
Yep, the whole time.
No, I know who it was.
It was the Gibbon.
Groot. Got to tie him in somehow.
He accidentally poked his
eye. Or it was Angela. It was Angela. We'll get Angela involved.
He was like, Groot's like,
she was on the cover of the last
issue. You're not supposed to run with sticks. He poked his eye out.
But it came out as I am Groot, so. Yeah. He tried to confess. He confesses in every book, we just don't know.
What's Groot's original sign?
Splinters. And the other book I read was San Hannibal, which is just a little personal one, which is getting really weird. First one was really neat, just like a detective thing, but the art and coloring was really cool. It was all one color. Really neat. Number two started to get a little wonky, introduced some bizarre characters, but still good. This last one was really weird, where all of a sudden the guy got shot up with drugs. Like, the bad guys got him, and so you don't know what you're seeing, what's going on. It just got really, really weird. So, there's a couple more to go. I can't wholeheartedly recommend this one, only because I just don't quite...
It's not, I don't know what I'm reading.
It's, right, it's not what it started out as. Now, to be fair, Six Gun Gorilla didn't finish the way it started.
Yeah.
It was turned much different, but...
But you could follow it.
Yeah, this one, once you got into that, I got very, very confused. So, but it
plus
might help.
There's no six-gun gorilla.
No, but it might help to read them all at once, too. But there's no gorillas.
Weird.
So, that's all I got. Josh, what'd you read?
Oh,
you weren't prepared.
You may have read comic books.
Maybe.
I read a few comic books. Hold on, let me get my list here.
You were unprepared.
He's
prepared.
No, he's very prepared.
You were to the left. You should have known.
He went digital, unlike you two.
Okay, well, first thing... Valiant, their event right now, Armor Hunters. Any of you? You guys don't read Valiant, do you?
No.
No offense, Valiant, but...
Bunch of haters. So, Armor Hunters, it's a four-issue event. It ties in with their big team-up book, Unity. And then there's a couple other, I guess, mini-series, because with Harbinger and Bloodshot, they have, you know, Armor Hunters versions of them, but they're not going through the main books, I don't think. So, this was three of four. So, we get to see... And Armor Hunters is following Eric from Exo Manowar. So we see him almost to the point where he's ready to to surrender the armor, and you think he's going to give it over, but then they find a way to turn into a, you know, trap and kind of mount an offensive against the, you know, these hunters who come to try and collect the armor from Eric and almost cleanse the planet, because it seems like the armor itself is infecting species around it, some sort of, you know, disease or virus. So they go on the offensive against the hunters, take down one of the, you know, major players on the hunter side. You see Bloodshot from Valiant kind of go on a suicide mission. And his, I think, Armor Hunter's Bloodshot came out today, so that shows what happened whenever they, you know, okay, left him behind. So that was pretty good. I think the parts I'm liking of that, you know, the best, there's some really good scenes between Eternal Warrior and Ninjak who have been teamed up that are pretty good. And Unity is the one that follows most closely with Armor Hunters. It seems like these other books, Exo Man of War and Unity, are focusing on more of the hunters themselves and less on the, you know, main event and destruction. But I mean, overall, the event's been pretty solid, and it's not terribly long. So, Batgirl, and you guys read Gail Simone's last one.
Somebody read it?
Yeah, I thought Adam read it.
Yeah, you were complaining about it.
What was it, Batgirl?
Batgirl, yeah.
Are you paying attention?
No.
So, that was 34 was Gail Simone's. I think she's doing the Future's End one, but this is the last main, like, normal story of Batgirl that she's doing.
Yeah, I think it's the last one she's doing, isn't it?
I think she's writing the Future's End one.
Okay.
It comes out next month, but this is the last in the normal story.
Okay.
That she's doing.
Yeah, I thought it was a weird way of ending it. This story has been going on since the beginning. Like, yeah. It's a story basically about
her and Nightfall.
Her and Nightfall.
Yeah.
And Nightfall is a character who's kind of, I almost see her as like an anti-hero. Like
she's like a Bruce Wayne gone wrong.
Gone wrong. Yeah, that's what she kind of is. So she is kind of interesting. I never liked their name. Because I don't know if they're just trying to tie it to the name of the old book or...
Yeah, every time I hear a name, I think of that.
That's all I think of, so I'm just like, I don't really understand why she's called that, but whatever.
My biggest issue with her in this book is that she's been such a, you know, threat, I guess, for 34 issues now.
Uh-huh.
And then it seems like the way, you know, they wrapped up or beat her just seemed kind of...
Yeah.
It wasn't earned.
And here's another thing, and this happens sometimes with comics that I really don't understand why, you know, you think that she was by the end of this, she was a pretty big threat.
Yeah.
You know, to Gotham. She basically did she took over Gotham, hired a bunch of masonaries.
They were building stuff everywhere.
They're building bricks and stuff. That's what Valiant's doing right now. They're building a bunch of bricks on their covers.
The Minecraft covers.
Yeah, Minecraft covers. You know, it does all this stuff, and I'm just like, where's Batman? Like, that's the first thing I think of. Where's Batman in all this? Like, where, you know, you think he's going to let it get this far? Like, without jumping
in?
Or any
of the other Gotham heroes?
So that was my...
This issue, you see a ton of DC heroes come in to, you know, help out Batgirl, but none of them are like the normal Gotham.
Yeah, that's people, the... And,
except
know,
for Batwoman.
One of my biggest, really, issues with this issue is that it's the fact that they had it had a lot of feminist overtones, a lot, like way more to, and it seemed unrealistic because of what they were doing. There should be an equal balance of what they're trying to do, and in this case I think she, with this, and I know what she was trying to want to do, she added in, they called for help and it was every female character of the DC universe. And I was just like, seriously? They were just like, we don't need any of the male characters. The city's being taken over. But you know what? We'll just take the female characters right now. It seemed like, come on.
Yeah, I can understand.
It's like if something was happening, they're like, we don't you know,
Superman,
like,
can wrap this up in 5 minutes, but you know what, we're gonna let Wonder Woman.
It's like if the police were dealing with this, we're like, we only need the female people right now, you know, right now, and all the male cops stay here. So what, we got two, you know, female cops right now here.
Yeah.
It just didn't make any sense, you know. It just,
and it was the way they addressed it was the I can't remember her name.
Well, she said it would
she's
be
like,
easier that
she's like,
way.
They're mostly females. I work better that way.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
It just was like, oh yeah, okay. Like, it just didn't make any sense. This huge threat was happening. Yeah. You think Batgirl would be just a, you know, or this whole group would have been a little more better prepared at what they were doing.
The issue was fun. I mean, the dialogue was fun with the characters.
Yeah.
It just, you know,
And then, as you said, it ended really, like,
this major
she was
threat.
Just like,
they show her
she was
picture.
Like, you don't have to do this.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I guess I don't. And that was the end. And it's yeah. just like.
That's all it took?
They showed her a picture of her family
her
when
family.
She was younger.
Would they really want you doing this? And she was like,
and
no.
she's like, no, you're right, and breaks down crying. And
it was just
they
slap
hug.
On the wrist, yeah.
They hug, and that was it.
Yeah.
And then Batgirl
well,
says.
Well, they hugged it out. That's.
Batgirl says she needs a change. She's
what
leaving.
Issue was it? What number?
It's 34.
So 34 issues, basically, for that.
Yeah.
So
if she just would have hugged it out 34 issues ago.
I have to say I like Gail Simone as a writer.
Yeah, she's great, but
this was a disappointment. It just ended disappointing.
It seemed like and she
for something
she
that
vocal,
I thought was leading up fairly well.
She was vocal about I guess issues she had with the, you know, direction she wanted to take the book in with the editor who's not there anymore.
Yeah.
How they wanted to be very serious and she wanted to be more fun. This issue just felt like cuz the editor was gone, F you to the editor.
Yeah.
I'm going to do everything I've wanted to do all in one issue.
I have to say what's kind of sad is if that's what she wanted to do, like, what she turned that issue into, they were probably better off with the editor.
Yeah.
What
but if she would have had 34 issues instead of one
in one issue,
yeah.
then I think with one issue
true.
She was like, I'm going to get every single female superhero and put them all in here and do this. And this.
Yeah, it just seemed really odd. Just,
yeah.
like, and then,
there was more focus on that than the actual confrontation with
Yeah,
Batgirl and Nightfall.
I feel like to me that whole part ruined it for me because it didn't seem realistic.
Yeah.
Like it had no like as realistic as a comic book's going to be. But
yeah, if it made sense for that to happen, then it would have been better. But
yeah, it's just you know, what if one of those female characters couldn't show up? Could they send a male replacement, or would they be like, no, this is no good? You know, it just was like, what?
Hawkgirl's busy, so I can't. No, sorry, Hawkman, we're
you
fine.
You know, I understand if they had some like a lot of female characters, but having male character at all coming in, including
Batman,
who wouldn't allow this to happen to Gotham City,
Red Robin,
it just didn't seem
Red Hood,
right.
None of them.
Yeah, well, it just you know, even just Batman, if you're just looking at him, and it's just like Gotham City is being taken over. And Batman's just like, you know what? I'm going to take a nap for today. You know, it's just like, when does that ever happen?
Look, I'm on vacation. Batgirl, can you handle this?
Yeah, it was too big of a threat that she was of what she was doing for Batman not even to show up.
Yeah.
You know? Just,
which I guess that's a problem with any books that take place
in
Gotham's
yeah.
universe because it's hard to say that they have a major
threat. Why isn't
threat.
Batman
we
here?
See, yeah,
I think it would have helped, though, if it, without the all female characters
yeah.
thing. I think I could have been able to take it more seriously without Batman being there. If if Jason Todd showed up or something, I'd be like, well, he showed up and did something,
yeah.
you know? Or, you know, they had Starfire there. She just came out of nowhere,
mm-hmm.
you know? I was waiting for Green Lanterns to show up, like the female Green Lanterns. Here comes, who is it?
Mogo.
Yeah.
I always say Mojo because of But
Mogo shows up.
Mogo shows up, and you know.
I'm pretty sure that would screw up.
I will save Gotham and smashes into it. You know, I don't know. It just I think it could have ended a little better. I think that's what made me kind of say, I think I'm done with Batgirl. And
yeah,
I just like the character, but it just
I'm
like,
interested to see what the new creative team's gonna do.
I feel disappointed.
Yeah.
And but that's the thing. I shouldn't feel because they're changing the character. I should at least try out the first run of the new creative team just to see what they do before I judge that because I'm judging it on a previous, you know, person. So I might just do that.
Why don't you do that?
I'm gonna do that.
Adam's gonna do it. So you got his recommendation.
I'm gonna read the first one first.
Tune in this October to see how it goes.
Yeah.
Justice League United. Any of you guys reading that?
That was decent.
I'm behind.
Yeah, that finished up their first.
It's number four, and I'm behind.
Their first arc. I mean, it was pretty good. There wasn't a whole lot that happened in this issue. This is where they finally, you know, kind of solidify themselves as an ongoing team and give themselves kind of a base of operations and. There's some good one-liners again between Animal Man and Green Arrow.
I always find it funny when the superhero group takes over the villain's
hideout.
You know, it's just like, yeah, we're going to use this as our base of operations. I'm is that a safe idea?
Did it wrap up the thing that it started with Supergirl and the alien babies and things like that?
Yeah,
okay.
It wrapped that up. The only thing that's still up in the air is that new character,
right?
Neoven.
Elk Girl or whatever.
Yeah. So, it's just weird because before this book came out, it seemed like she was a big focus of their publicity, and she's only been, like, one or two pages each book.
I'm a little curious at what they're doing with Adam Strange.
Yeah.
Because, basically, him and the girl he was looking for are, they have, like, this issue where, I forget what they call it. Like,
yeah,
they can't be in the same place at one time. Because of the teleportation technology that this alien race used to get them to where they were going, and now they're like stuck separately. So one has to be on the planet. Adam Strange has to be on the planet they left, and then she's on Earth. And I think once in a while they like switch.
Yeah.
Like just out of nowhere they'll switch.
Yeah, it's gonna be weird to
see.
So
I was wondering if they're gonna be, because she picks up a costume.
She's running.
So now she has the blue one and he has a red one. So are they like going to be like
interchangeable
like characters through that? So I thought that was kind of interesting, but a little confusing at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a fun book. I'm curious to see where he's gonna take it now that they've established the team and had the origin arc, I guess.
Which one was it at the end of the book that they were like, what should we call ourselves? And he was like, are we the new Justice League of America? And he's like, and one of them was like, no, dummy, we're in Canada.
Should I think, was that Green Arrow?
I think it was Green Arrow. I don't know if that was like Animal Man or if that was... Because they bicker back and forth.
Green Arrow and Animal Man have been the humor in the book.
Yeah.
And then...
How about Supergirl and Stargirl?
Yeah,
she
was Stargirl
like,
in her place a little bit.
Yeah, she was like, if you'd stop looking like a wide-eyed, what did she say? Like a wide-eyed little kid.
Wide-eyed little
something.
Girl or something, yeah.
Maybe people will take you more seriously or something.
Supergirl was like 20.
Yeah.
And then the only other thing that I want to mention from Vertigo, Coffin Hill. Are you guys reading that?
I started it, I got off, but...
It's been a... interesting book. I don't want to say a fun book because it's kind of dark, but it's been, you know, a very interesting read. This issue is right in the middle of a new arc, and you get some kind of flashbacks. So the main character Eve Coffin, you're seeing flashbacks to when she was Boston cop working on this.
Right. Then something happened in the first one. Yeah.
Yeah, where she was shot when she was a cop, and it's so you're seeing now what happened during that case and what's leading up to her getting shot. So. She's chasing what she thinks is a dirty cop who's the murderer, who's dealing with things in the occult. But then she, in the present, is in jail for, you know, shooting a cop who they think wasn't the murderer. So you're seeing her in prison, then also seeing back to, you know, her house and where most of the first arc took place, and see other people in the, or teens, I guess, in the town who were dealing with the occult. And more is going on with the house and other people there. The fall from the first arc, so it's been kind of a weird book, but definitely a, you know, good book from the Vertigo side of things. So that's what I have.
I guess Adam wants to go next
before I get you on because you have a lot of them.
I thought Dave. I mean, why do you guys skip over Dave?
I wasn't gonna skip over
Adam. Did it was Adam.
I just want to mention something that Dave mentioned. I finally got to read Afterlife with Archie, where it takes place with the Sabrina, and you've already explained it like what it's about on a previous podcast. Mm-hmm. But that still holds up as a really good book. And that was kind of terrifying. Like, there's a lot of weird stuff happening in that issue.
Yeah.
Not just, like, zombie stuff.
Yeah,
but,
the two-page spread at the end.
Yeah. And
the last one was awesome.
And fact that the kid who plays the violin and
that's
how they were all brought there to that area.
Yeah.
And then after a while he stops playing it and they're like, what happened? It turned out they cut his fingers off.
Yeah.
And then he's finally sacrificed to that kid. But wow, I mean, it makes me really excited for the Sabrina story.
Yeah, did you read the Sabrina story at the end of the 5-page or 6-page thing? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. So it was just a really decent, read. And
so that Sabrina book that's coming out ties in with
Afterlife with Archie, because Sabrina starts off. In this. That's what she's the one who causes all
Yeah, that. I knew she was the one who caused it. But I didn't know that her new series was tying in
with
this.
Yeah, yeah. It kinda not necessarily it's coming out of the pages of this is what it really is.
Yeah, I don't know how
because
much
you demand
it.
I don't think it's gonna have the zombies and stuff like that, but it's gonna be it's gonna be in the same kind of universe. But
that
like it's the first time that I've ever said you know, been talking about. I'm like, Sabrina, Teenage Witch. I'm excited for that book coming out. You know, it's just like, wow.
No, it just defies expectations.
That book is the biggest surprise. I never would have expected.
Maybe they'll cancel all the other Archie titles and just have this one be it, you know.
Go to the Archie Dark line.
Archie Dark, yeah. That's what I want to see more of that. You know, where's Josie and the Pussycats? They're going to be, you know,
well, they renamed the Red Circle superhero book Stark Circle now, and I think they're going to get some. I don't know when those are coming out, but
yeah,
I think they just announced some at San Diego, so it probably won't be until this preview.
Yeah, getting some big creators on those, I think.
Yeah,
are you getting like a custom cover?
Yeah,
Sabrina.
Maybe I'm supposed to. It's getting a little wonky just because I've talked about this before, but I still under. When I opened, I was part of the New Dimension Comics group, and I still order under them to get a bigger discount.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, my account being under that, even though I'm ordering it, everything on it would have been New Dimension. So we've been trying to get that sorted out. And even Todd, in charge of New Dimension, you know, has called to make sure it's right. But I still, I know I saw one store had gotten a cover mock-up of their cover or what their cover is going to look like, and I haven't gotten it yet, so I don't know if it's gotten sorted away or not. But I'm supposed to be getting a
custom
one. What's
it supposed to look like?
It's Sabrina running past a store with something chasing her,
uh-huh.
and it's Francesco Francavilla.
Uh-huh.
It's all black with like a red background, but instead of where the comic store would be, it would be my logo.
It's going to be
the front of the store. Yeah,
in front of that
is what
store.
It should be.
Unlike
then,
the Godzilla that was actually your
right,
store.
Right, not quite
logo.
That cool, but,
yeah.
and then
if,
on the back.
If
would
he's
it,
drawing your store, that's pretty.
No,
yeah.
no, he just drew
wow.
the cover, and then they're going to just put my logo in there,
yeah.
And then have my info on the back and stuff, like the Godzilla one did.
That's cool, though, still.
So, yeah, but hopefully that all gets straightened away. I mean, I'm like, I don't know what I need to do. I ordered it, you know.
I'll buy one just because of the custom.
Yeah, so comment and get your...
We
well, we don't know.
We don't know, so... We'll see.
Sad.
Yeah, just like I said, I know that one store had there.
Yeah.
I saw theirs.
So. Yeah, maybe they're just coming out a little later, whoever got it first.
Well, I mean, we all ordered at the same time, so...
Mm-hmm. So get it situated.
Yeah. Okay. Go, Dave.
Fantastic Four, number 8.
I took it home to read.
It was
doesn't
good.
Count, Colin.
Even though it's... It's marked as an original sin tie-in.
That was the only reason I took it home.
Even though it doesn't deal much with
with
Johnny's original sin.
What is his original sin?
He messed up years ago. He messed up
SATs.
Reed's. He messed up on his SATs. No, he messed up Reed's invention that was going to turn Ben back to normal.
Oh.
And the thing found out about this and went on.
Now, is he depowered right now, Johnny?
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah, Johnny's depowered.
Well,
if
they figured it out, can't he just tell Reed, hey, this screwed up, your machine actually worked, and Reed can just rebuild it?
Yeah, you would think that.
He was too ashamed, so he just kept it a secret.
He was that ashamed.
Reed's going to be so mad, I can't tell
him. Yeah, I can't tell him.
Sorry, Ben.
Even though it'll help, Ben, I can't.
There's bigger problems right now, because in the last issue, the thing got a call from Alicia, and he went over there, and then Reed followed, and he found the thing holding the dead body of the Puppet Master. So in this issue,
it's about time somebody killed off the Puppet
thing
Master.
Is arrested
like
for
that.
Murder. Thing is arrested for murder. Johnny's
crying,
singing tour is canceled because he lost his powers. And
wait, he sings now.
I guess he sings now.
He does.
He's in a band with Dazzler.
I didn't know he did either.
Yeah. He's with Dazzler?
Yeah. He was on tour with Dazzler.
Yeah.
And Reed and Sue, they... the Baxter building has been closed. Reed and Sue aren't allowed in it anymore. So they go... They are now at a place called... In the community of the future called Eden, which is looks like a flying... It looks like a helicarrier with... You know,
like a floating like island type
floating
deal?
Island, exactly, yes. Thank you.
Isn't that where the Inhumans lived?
Like, oh, yeah, they had an island.
That crashed.
You know what? That thing goes all over the place. It was... Where did they originally? It was, like, in the mountains or something. Then it was floating in the air. Then went to the moon or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget what it's called.
Antillean.
Adeline.
Yeah, Adeline. Weird.
So it was good. I'm... Something mysterious is going on with Eden, I'm sure.
What?
So we'll find out.
Okay.
But Sue's just not doing much.
I want to jump in real quick. Did anybody finish the Fractions FF run?
No.
Okay, because I'm just trying to figure out what happened with that Johnny. I don't know if anybody read the beginning, but all of a sudden the Fantastic Four went away and nominated, it was Ant-Man to be there unless they don't come back in 10 seconds.
Right.
And then they didn't come back. And then all of a sudden Johnny came back and he was missing an eye and all this stuff. And I didn't stick with it long enough to figure out what the heck was up with that.
He remade of a new one.
Okay. Yeah, I just never figured. Okay. I never figured out what happened.
Because I read the Fantastic Four, but I didn't read the FF.
Okay.
Yeah,
he borrowed it from the Watcher.
Yeah. Well, I don't think anything right now with Matt Fraction anybody cares about anyway.
Yeah, I read the first couple issues of his run. And I was really disappointed.
They were like, "You messed up, Hawkeye." And I kicked
people
him
seem
out.
To like Sex Criminals a lot. I read the first issue. I didn't.
It's okay. I read the first arc. It was okay.
Worst thing I've ever got him read of his was Fear Itself.
That was pretty bad.
I don't like Satellite Sam.
This podcast knows too much about
it. I got confused and I stopped. It's one of those I'm going to need to read in the trade because too many characters, and when I'm reading it infrequently, I couldn't keep track of what was going on.
Isn't it funny, like, when we are, like, rating Marvel events, we always have that bar set at, like, Fear Itself. Like, whenever we're like,
it was better than Fear Itself.
It's better than Fear Itself. Yeah, that's exactly how it
went. Well, Fear Itself had all that potential that from the first issue where Cap was there and the crowd rioted because there was extra fear in the air kind of thing. And then the hammers got distributed. And then, like, nothing happened.
Yeah.
It just...
The only part I liked in it was the fact that, like, Captain America, when he kind of thought it out that, like, if he was a better inspiration, like, to these people, then the fear would subside, like, in them. Because they were actually being infected by fear.
They should have Hal Jordan come.
Yeah, it just
was weakening them all. And stood up, they were just like, yeah, we're going to... But
another case, and they do this a lot, where it was really neat idea, but really poor execution.
Yeah.
Even to the point where the finale happened off panel. And it's just like, okay, what? Yeah. Thor killed the serpent and then was bitten by the serpent and died, but you didn't really see any of that
happen. That's kind of odd in a visual media.
Right. Well, that's what made it poor. And it was funny. Oh my gosh. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Oh, Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette Blount were arrested and charged with marijuana possession.
Great. Wow. You heard it here first.
Yes. Well, actually, you won't hear this till tomorrow. But,
tune in tomorrow.
Before that started,
24 hours later,
they made Fraction available to stores. Basically, if you emailed this one guy, Fraction may call your store to talk to you about it. So he called and we talked about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And one of the things I asked,
Colin,
I said...
was like, this was garbage.
No, this was before.
Oh, your book.
But my question...
Don't screw up Hawkeye, please.
Don't call me here.
No, my question was, will it finish in the series? You know, is it seven issues? Because whatever the previous event was, kind of the end didn't end in it, and it kind of dragged on. Maybe it
was a
secret
invasion?
Maybe.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, no, there's definitely a beginning, a middle, and an end. And then when it finally comes out, well, it didn't really end at 7. There was 7.1, 7.2, and 7.3, which...
It ended at 7.
It did, but... And those you kind of needed to read, but what it got me even more was they didn't include those in the trade. Those three issues in their own trade called Shattered Heroes. So it's just like, okay, whatever.
Call back and explain it to us.
Yeah, it was just one of those. Okay, yeah. So you just turned a 7-issue series into a 10-issue series.
Matt Fraction is our only listener.
Yeah. No, he's not listening. Scott Snyder's the only real friend of the podcast.
He's not listening now, Colin.
No, he's not.
Some friends we have.
There are people listening, though, because they come in and talk to me.
Well, thank you,
but
people. Go to
yes,
bed, Chad.
Yes.
Go ahead,
keep going. Sorry, didn't mean to get it off track.
What's for yourself?
I'm good at it. Yeah.
That's okay. Hulk number 5.
I took
that
home to read too.
It was good.
That was the one I dropped last week. It was a heavy week.
You were not
you
alone.
You can't drop a Hulk.
I can. He's pretty heavy.
I know. Well, yeah.
You can drop a behemoth in a
diaper.
You have
to pick him up first.
Though.
That's true.
Maybe the first.
Sorry, Dave.
No, it's okay. First issue by Jerry Duggan. who, as we've learned before, is writing everything. Banner, Hulk was injected with extremists in his brain, so now he wants to be known as Doc Green instead of Hulk.
Doc Green.
Okay, I'm seeing the Deadpool
influence.
And he has his own science team, and he wants to develop a serum to cure anyone who has been with gamma radiation, who's, you know, transformed.
Including himself? The Hulk wants to get rid
of himself.
That's different.
Of course.
Hulk stay.
Hulk stay.
Abomination, Doc Samson,
I'm civilized, but these other monsters out here.
Sorry.
So it's kind of cool because they need, he needs the adamantium to make these nanites.
That's why he's killing Wolverine.
He got it.
Got
his arm off.
So he's like, that's all
so
I get.
He has a portal and he goes into the future, the King of the Conquerors.
Hulk time.
He's time traveling.
Hulk time travels.
Didn't anyone tell Doc Green that it's broken? Doc Green is time traveling. They're ripping off Back to the Future.
Yeah, he goes back to the future.
We don't need roads where we're going.
He goes to King's
Doc Green Smash Future
trophy room and grabs the arm of Ultron. He has adamantium to make these nanites. And the first person
he
goes out.
He had a ready supply,
so who's
probably a Weapon X.
So who's the first person he goes after to try to cure him?
She-Hulk. No, Jones.
General Ross.
Rick Jones.
Oh, okay.
I didn't read it, too. See, I'm good.
Should be writing
it. I know
it.
My stuff here. People don't think I know anything.
But it was, I know, I liked it because it was a smooth transition, I thought, from the Wade issues, Mark Wade did the first four issues to this.
Yeah. Rick Jones was A-bomb.
He's A-bomb, yeah.
Which I thought was the most ridiculous name when
yeah,
it first came out.
Needless to say, Rick Jones doesn't want to be cured, so.
Yeah.
What was Marvel's obsession with taking both of Mark Wade's books and just giving them brand new number ones and having the story just continue? Because that was the same thing as Daredevil.
Yeah.
It was Mark Wade who was writing that.
You can ask that about most of Marvel's books that they went to number ones
with. But at least those that changed the creative team.
No, Captain Marvel didn't change creative team.
I think that was just because at least, maybe Hulk was sales too. I think Captain Marvel was sales.
Marvel's really big anymore with ever since Brian Michael Bendis did franchises. He turned Avengers into a franchise that he was able to bring out Mighty Avengers and this and that. They looked at that and they were like, that's a good idea. So they started making them with every book that they have, which I was not expecting them to do with Hulk, but they did it. You know, they brought out, you know, well, they already had She-Hulk, but then they were like, didn't Red Hulk have a book for a little while? Or did
Red She-Hulk had a book.
She-Hulk had a book. She-Hulk had a book.
I think Red Hulk's in, or was in,
Thunderbolts. He was a Dark Avenger for a while, too. I think he was. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe he was just one of the part of the Avengers. They're really
I think
big
Scar
on that.
Was in Dark Avengers, wasn't he?
Yeah, Scar.
Yeah.
And Scar had his own book, didn't he? Scar, son of Hulk.
Son of
Hulk. Can he cure him?
No, because he was kind of...
He was already born that way,
yeah,
right?
He wasn't Gamma.
What happens if he does? Does he just, like, turn into goo or something?
I don't know. They had the serums. They had blue, they had green, they had red. So he's just going to cure everybody.
That Doc Green. Hey, what happened to Doc Savage? You remember Doc Savage?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think he's in that Justice number one book. Justice Inc.
It's a Marvel book?
No, it's a Dynamite book.
What's he doing there?
He gets around.
Like Angela.
Shows up. Just tears through the fabric of time and space because he can. Everybody can time travel.
So you would recommend Hulk 5?
I liked it, yeah. More thinking.
It's funny that whoever it is.
But yeah, it was. I guess it's kind of goofy now that I hear myself talking
like,
about it out loud.
He teamed up with Marty McFly.
Dave did like
that. Well, he has his own Marty McFly. Hulk has his own Marty McFly. It's Rick Jones.
Okay.
You know? Doc Green. Rick Jones.
dark green time.
He's wearing his glasses and his. But there was one good scene because they showed.
Who can't fit in a
DeLorean? They showed Hulk's
was
eye.
Hulk falling off the toilet trying to hang a clock.
And Banner, you see Banner just pounding, trying to get out.
Yeah, I always like that kind of stuff when they do that.
Yeah,
I always like that with the bullet thing where Hulk. Startling stories. It's what's it called, Hulk, mm-hmm. or something? Or I don't know if it was Bruce Banner. Maybe it was called Banner. But that's that story where they took from the Avengers movie where he tries to commit suicide. Bruce Banner does. He shoots the bullet and then okay. Hulk and spits out the bullet. Right. That's what that story was called. I don't know if they have a trade for that. That was called Startling Stories or something.
Yeah, that's Brian Azzarello.
That was Banner. I think there's a trade called Banner.
Brian Azzarello. Yeah. Okay.
You would think that would at least chip Hulk's tooth.
You think?
Hulk need dentist.
Hulk's got gamma tooth. Hulk is a dentist. Doc Green.
Doc Green. DMD. DDS.
DDS.
I can see all these spin-off series now.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, Netflix is going to have all these series.
Spit, Rick.
Hulk dentistry.
I mean, you have She-Hulk.
Hulk CSI. CS Hulk.
CSI
Hulk. CSI Gamma.
Dave, look what you started.
Yeah.
I'm glad this
Marvel's listening right now. They're like, oh, this is gold. This is gold. Maybe Sky will be in it. We'll put Sky in it and maybe Deadshot. Or not Deadshot. Who is it? What's the cyborg's name?
Deathlock.
Deathlock. I don't remember. He's so uneventful of a character. Deathlock will be
Deathlock needs a root canal.
Hulk smash root canal. Colin, you want to see it. You know it.
Wait, Keith.
He's playing a video game.
Adam's talking, and he's rambling.
You want to see that show.
Way to derail Dave every time Dave talks.
Every time Dave tries to do something, it's Adam.
Yeah.
Go, Dave. Adam.
Astro City, number 14.
I can't derail him from that.
I stopped reading that a while ago.
This is a good issue. This answers the question, what happens to all those crazy robots that supervillains use?
That's a good question. Do they recycle those, or?
Well, in this story, I'm glad you asked because.
See, this is how you properly transition.
I'm glad you asked.
As opposed to robots, robots are stupid. Well, we should talk about
this
monkeys.
Old lady, in the story, this old lady Ellie collects and repairs them, and has her own roadside museum of all these
evil robots.
Evil robots, but. They're not.
Are they still evil?
They're not really.
This is Ultron.
They're not still evil. I'm glad you asked. That also because her nephew Fred comes and he starts doing some crazy stuff and starts reprogramming them to steal some jewels and tiaras.
Exactly. Ultron, Fred. The adamantium robot with a heart of gold.
Awesome mode is not confused.
And Ellie has some weird stuff going on in her background, it's implied. So this is at least a two-parter, so we'll find out the next issue what happens to her. And Starlight number 5. Did you read that?
I'm behind. I have 4 and 5. I have 4 and 5. What?
I thought you mentioned that online about something about that book.
Mm-hmm. When it first came out, I think you were
Yeah, I really liked it. Yeah, I thought number 1 1 2
too much away.
It's been good. I'm just behind.
Yeah, it's really good.
Who's writing it?
Mark Miller.
Yeah, this is the next to last issue, and I guess Duke McQueen really jumps into action in this issue, and as the war really starts, and he's thrown into at the end the Kingfisher. They think they got him beat. They throw him into the lake with all these they're creatures from the Black Lagoon, and so they think he's done for. I'll just leave it at that. We'll not give away the last page for you, but it's really good. You know, it's the words I was going to say. Yeah, it's not over the top at all, and very heartfelt, and I like it. That's it. That's it for me.
That's a podcast. Oh, wait, no. Pat.
God. We're skipping Pat.
We'll leave Adam for last so he can ramble on about
Spider-Man.
Yeah, we both read
Amazing Spider-Man. I don't want to talk about Spider-Man. You guys want to talk about Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, I don't. I'm so torn with I love the character of Spider-Man, but I hate this book. And that's. Like, the original Sin...
Oh, you're starting at the bottom of your list. I was like, what are you talking about? Like,
don't worry about what I'm doing.
There are, like, half the book is okay and half the book is bad. And that's been every single book in the Amazing
Spider-Man. Yeah, I agree with that. Part of it's, like, decent.
Well, the one, it was it 2 issues ago, was a pretty decent book.
Yeah.
Well, no, or maybe that was Superior Spider-Man.
Spider-Man was good.
That's my real problem is, you know, when they first announced it, they said it's Doc Ock. I was like, no, not Doc Ock. Come on, you can't. It's like making Lex Luthor Superman. You can't do that. And now I'm like,
I'd read that book.
Technically, they kind of.
Well, yeah. But now I'm like, I would rather have Doc Ock back. At least he wasn't, you know, so goofy.
Yeah, I wish I hadn't gone back to Peter Parker, normal Peter Parker. Yet.
It's not even necessarily that, but, you know, he gets stuck on every other panel, it seems like he's saying, and Doc Ock, my mind was taken over by Doc Ock, it wasn't me. Like, okay.
Well, mainly to do with the fact that this whole thing with Black Cat, she's the only one that's just like, I don't care, you know, about this, and he's trying to, like, prove to her that that's why they're doing that so much. Not so much with everybody else, but it's getting old, right?
It wouldn't be as bad if he didn't come back in Amazing Spider-Man, and so, like, casually, you know, oh, this had happened, I still have all my memories, everything's fine. Because they built up to it that he was going to be missing a lot of memories and have, you know, to fill in all these gaps. And
I was hoping that they would, like, battle, like, at the end of that series. Because I thought Superior Spider-Man had kind of a bland ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was hoping that he was going to come back some other way, and then he'd have to battle, but they'd have to figure out, like, if he was, like, transferred into a clone body or something like that. I don't know.
Let's see what happens, though, in Edge of Spider-Verse Spider-Verse. That may end up happening.
Yeah, but but that's what you were wanting to see, like, him take
over. He and Anna Maria have a child. The child is Peter Parker's consciousness.
Weird.
20 years later, they battle.
They battle them.
Remember me, Dad?
Yeah. Well, the part I just didn't, I haven't liked about this is the Black Cat. I like the story going on that's leading us into Spider-Verse, like with the girl.
The stuff with Silk is
that, and that's surprising because I wasn't sure I was going to like this introduction to this character, but I haven't thought it's been really that bad. Yeah. And it's bad at the connection between them two.
The weird spider sex on the ceiling.
Yeah, sex. That kind of stuff. Yeah, that.
Although, admittedly, if I had spider powers, I would do that too.
Well, yeah.
I'm freaky like that, but yeah.
On that note,
I kept it.
Say that's a podcast.
Yeah, that's really a podcast. We'll tune in next time, maybe if we're on the on Apple iTunes.
After no, that. I just don't care for the team up between Electro and Javier. It just doesn't make sense. Yeah. Kind of like the movie we'll get to later, but the team up isn't organic or anything. It's just kind of, oh, you don't like Spider-Man 2, let's work together. It just
The enemy of my enemy is not always my friend. Like
the part I did like, because it reminded me, it was kind of nostalgic, the old Spider-Man, like, books and old comic books, was the ending, where he's on the air, and they're going to mask.
And then
J. Jonah Jameson's there, and he's like, this is exclusive, it just seemed like an old comic book feel to it, that it's just like, that's the comic book cliffhanger.
Yeah, because even the Amazing Spider-Man was in the font, and it just seemed like the
old feeling that you used to get with reading, books like that, comic books, but
didn't his partner, the other doctor, quit their company like 2 issues back?
No, she got captured.
But I know she got captured.
She was going to quit, and then she quit, but before she could actually walk out the building was when she got captured.
I feel like she's gonna be one of these people that learns that he's Spider-Man.
Okay, because that's where I was confused. I'm like, why is she appearing on this show in the first place if she quit an issue or so back?
I think it's like a very short period of time, and that's why it was happening.
She was, she had a contract. She had to do it.
Yeah. Contractually obligated, and all right, it'll show up.
Yeah, that's that. I'm done.
I'll skip that one for
just
now.
Just like us doing this podcast.
Yeah, we're contractually obligated. Batman Eternal.
I read that.
It was behind.
I didn't talk about it, though, because I think for some reason the past three have kind of blended together as one issue to me. I couldn't remember exactly what happened last
week. It was the one that started off with Batgirl thought that Batwoman and Red Hood were the Joker and
Junior.
Yeah.
Yeah. My biggest question about this book, this issue, and this is what I just couldn't figure out: how many basements does Arkham Asylum have? Like, it seems like there's something evil going on in every basement that they have. Like, because what they're doing in this, like, in the last issue, there was like this lava pit or something, and there were a bunch of people. It wasn't the same group of like evil worshippers that were like in the other part where, and it's all in Arkham Asylum. True.
That's so a seven circle code. This is a six circle.
I know, that's what I'm thinking. What is this? Dante's, you know, the Divine Comedy? Like, but it just, like, it seemed really weird. Like, I was kind of confused. I was like, okay, where is Batman? Is he in, like, under the basement of Arkham Asylum?
Or sub-basement.
Sub-basement? Like, what is happening? But that was kind of confusing. But I didn't think it was horrible. Like, I haven't thought the whole series has been pretty good.
I like this stuff with Red Robin and Harper and kind of thrown in hints as to how she becomes Bluebird.
Bluebird, yeah.
So it looks like Red Robin's the one that trains her.
Yeah.
It's a weird dynamic between the two of them.
I like Killer Croc. I like how he's kind of, he's not so much of a villain, per se, and Batman kind of sees that, so he's working with him.
He's more of an underground vigilante.
But he's still something
vigilante.
To watch. Yeah. And I did like that. And he's trying to protect these homeless people that are looking
No one cares about these people, so.
Yeah, because, like, there's two people that have dealt with homeless people in DC. There's him, and there's Joker's daughter. And that was, like, the first issue, that villain issue, villain month.
The terrible one?
She's in the, And that, she was, so that's where this is all tying into now. The last thing was, with Croc, it was from the Arkham War, during Forever Evil.
I didn't read that.
And it dealt with, he was doing all this, and then he was kicked out by Bane, like, kicked out of a window, I thought he was.
Something happened.
But he decided to go underground, and he, meets up with a group of people under there, and he kind of takes over. He calls himself King Croc. So that's why he said that in the book. It was okay, this issue. I mean, it didn't necessarily move the story very far, but it was stuff just to fill in what, like, the next issue might be better. Like, this was
there haven't been
that.
Any bad issues
no
of Batman Eternal yet. It's just some have been really good.
I guess soon Kyle Higgins is going to take over as the writer
because John Layman's on.
Now what's his deal with Donald. I mean, we can't be that far off though from where the Batman 28
they said takes place around like 34 of Eternal.
Yeah, so we're not that far from that though.
Yeah, so we're close.
Yeah, it can't get too quick because, like, Harper Row hasn't been trained or anything.
Well, right, but we don't know what's going on with Catwoman. There's a lot that still needs to be explained
really
in what's not really a whole lot of.
And these upcoming Batman issues take place after the end of Batman Eternal.
The Endgame does.
Yeah.
Future's End.
I don't even remember what happened.
I think I read the last one. That was where Frankenstein had the dream that they were the ones that caused the problem. So it's kind of interesting that whereas Batman thought there was one thing, that there might be
multiple things,
causes.
Yeah, that was...
I think the biggest one was actually Batman sending back Batman Beyond with the future tech hanging on now Mr. Terrific has.
That's Batman's original sound.
I
didn't see. I forgot. I didn't see the Forever or the original Sentaiian. So
yeah, you got to read them.
Missed
all.
The logo on top.
Yep. Sorry. Okay, and the last one, The Walking Dead.
That was it was uneventful till the end. I thought.
I flipped through it. One thing I did like was the fact that they didn't do the trope where those new people were going to believe Negan and let him out and then start that all over again. I was kind of happy when they went, I can tell when somebody's lying to me.
Yeah.
And he's like, ah, darn it.
You can't blame a guy for trying.
Yeah. So, kind of gave himself away. So I did enjoy that because I was a little worried that that's where they were going to go and it was just going to be.
Yeah, I kind of thought that's where it was going to start.
2-year story arc.
But now, apparently, the dead talk.
Or is it mental?
I hope that's what it is the guy just snapped, because we don't need another all-out war where it's a zombie faction. That's, they got numbers. So it, once they become intelligent, like, they take over.
I kind of, I'm the other way. Like,
although you know what,
like
that,
the cross.
But no, but cool. That goes over what I talked about a few weeks ago. We've never had a zombie book where it's at the point of view of the zombies. If Kirkman takes it there, that's really interesting.
It would be different. Like, it would be a different kind of take for this. And I think the book kind of needs different, because otherwise for the last two things have been, you know, the prison and all out war, and they've both been pretty well the same thing. You know, this villain, and they have to have a war with him. And it's just like, you need something else. Something
but that's, you know, divide them. I would like to have spent more time, though, dealing with this new future and kind of, what are the everyday problems? Mm-hmm.
Well,
because
that doesn't mean you're
establishing, well, and you know, it, again, if this is just the guy snapped, then
they could just be mumbling to themselves. Like, they could be,
yeah,
you know, but it might be just a slow change that they're kind of, they're evolving a little bit. They're turning into something, you know, they're growing. They're getting more, you know, they're getting,
yeah, but
smarter, but slowly.
Yeah, but it's not like zombies are out there reproducing. Well, they are by eating, but other than that, yeah, you know, it's not like they can pass on. Darwin doesn't come into play here.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not the next generation
it's
of zombies.
It's just enough,
smarter,
though, that they might be getting a little smarter. And
so
no, they don't have to do
so
anything about that because
could be changing.
They're the dead. Yeah. They could be just some sort of evil force from hell. Who knows? You know, it doesn't. You
so
know,
you're going
so,
the I Am Legend route where they are more intelligent, but you just got to pay attention to them to figure
out. I'm not sure how intelligent they're going to be and how quickly they're going to be intelligent, but they might be able to be enough intelligent to figure things out more, to plan more what they're doing, to, you know, to have some sort of form of communication that, you know, they're not going to be stuck so quickly and the herds aren't going to be, like, easily manipulated to go in a different direction, you know, something like that.
Then you got to learn zombie language, yeah, and, you know.
So who knows? I'm not really, you know.
That was just one.
Because it's different. And I haven't seen different in this book for a long time. And I think All Out War was kind of a part where a lot of people, and you know, and I don't know, like, how many people were coming into the store column that you know, but, like, I heard a lot of people, they were just like, this is getting boring. Like, it's getting kind of boring.
Well, because it was All Out War that never turned into All Out
right.
War.
Yeah, and it just so, if they have some
last
sort of change.
The issue that anything happened in was 100.
Yeah.
And we're now up in the, what, 130?
Something needs to shake it up a little bit. They need to have something. And it can't just be somebody's death. Because after, you know, how many deaths, you know, have we seen? It's just like, okay, I get it. Something new. Something different to shake up this world a little bit. So, I don't know. I'm for any change that seems kind of interesting like that. So, let's see what they can do with it.
Okay.
What do you have on your list now?
That's it.
Did you read... oh, no, I can't remember anything. Did you read Green Lantern Corps?
A couple weeks ago, yeah.
Wasn't that last week?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, then I didn't read it.
It was interesting. It goes back to all the stuff dealing with Fatality.
Okay.
And then she is... that he wants to find her.
She's captured by somebody, isn't she?
Yeah, and it was basically the...
Was it the Durlins captured?
It was the Durlins, but they had somebody holding her. It was
okay.
A group, so he goes after it. He does eventually find her, and she's just straight out like, I hate you. I don't like you. And that kind of throws him off a little bit.
Right, but at the end of John's run, she's his wife.
But I think...
That was she
what
was
they're
taken
saying
by
is
them,
she's been replaced the entire relationship.
Yeah, which seems
well,
like...
no, but at the end of John's run, it's in the future.
Oh,
because it talks about how, you know, Hal Lantern runs the Corps and everything's good, and John Stewart stops being a Green Lantern and goes home, and I think he gets elected to Congress or something, and Fatality is right by his side.
Well, it could lead to that.
Yeah, so I mean,
Lester was a records keeper for the Green Lanterns in that book too, so
yeah
but yeah, I mean, Sinestro was a little more,
I'm just saying, like, this, I mean,
yeah, I just hate when you see that far in the future, because it's like, okay, I kind of know
where
this has
to
go.
I didn't like that part either, because it's just like, this will never happen, Like, because this comic book might go on for a longer time, you know? It's like, yeah, if they did that in the 60s, it's just like, are we going to see it yet?
Yeah.
You know, the end of this book, you know?
Well, don't we have it? Was it Spider-Man 20, or, what, the 100th anniversary Spider-Man?
And... yeah.
Weird.
Don't, yeah, we don't talk about those books.
Well, yeah, those are weird.
It's like Fight Club. We don't talk about those
pretty much. They didn't make any sense.
That's why they're over there?
Well, that's just because there were five of them and they didn't need to take up five spots.
You know?
Yeah, I guess that's true. In a few weeks, they'll be in a dollar box.
No, not that soon. But
he still paid for them. He wants money for them.
So what do you got? You done?
Yeah.
Talk about it. Okay.
Everybody kind of talks about the book, so I just don't
know. Okay. Ramble on and get us off track talking about
Fear Itself. You went into the Fear Itself discussion. I just mentioned it. You went on and talked about it.
Okay. Well, to transition even further, Adam finally, what, seven
Saw
months,
movie,
8 months
it
later?
Came out in April.
Yeah.
I'm still holding out.
Okay. No, that was...
okay. Spoiler alert.
That wasn't that Free Comic Book Day movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was May.
So Adam finally saw Amazing Spider-Man 2, possibly the greatest cinematic movie in the history of movies.
It was better than Empire Strikes Back, isn't that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah. Guardians can't hold a candle to this one.
Yeah,
I think even jokingly, I might have to run you over with my car later.
So,
yeah.
Do people say that?
No,
about Guardians.
Oh. Well, I'll let you. Yeah.
I love
the opening. I love the beginning.
First of all, I didn't see.
And then
this
it went
movie
downhill from there.
Because my whole thing about seeing this movie was This was not a movie I was wanting to see in theaters. I didn't really like the first one that much.
It was
much
too big for you.
Yes. And I didn't... I figured I'd give it a chance by renting it when it came to the Redbox, because then I would only waste $1 instead of, what, $7? So that was my plan. I didn't want to join
it. So he can see it six more times.
I didn't want to go to the theater. Then when the box office comes back, I didn't want to be a part of the next one when they're like, this made it just enough to have a sequel. And I'm just like, oh, what did I do?
$7 over.
Jeez. We wouldn't have made it if we didn't have the $7.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, yeah. So that was my thing, but...
thanks to Adam, Spider-Man will return.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say at the bottom.
We're so happy we found the guy.
Hey, you know what? If
it
said that at the bottom of Spider-Man movie, I'd be happy. Yeah. But anyways. So, I didn't really have high hopes for this movie because I didn't like the first one either. But I didn't, think it was horrible. Like, I thought the cast of the first movie, they did a decent job with I thought Andrew Garfield did a great job. Coming in as Peter Parker, I thought.
I like him.
Stone did good as Gwen Stacy. That's fine. I even like the lizard. Like I like some of the parts where they had the lizard. It just the first movie. It's the feel like there's a lot of things that just bothered me about the movie. But this movie, I just did not like at all. Like at all. Just watching it and, you know, being a fan of Spider-Man and one of the my favorite stories in Spider-Man was the death of Gwen Stacy. So, I was really holding this movie to, that book. Because I was just it has to translate. They have to do it. Because that's one of the... I think that's one of the best Spider-Man stories ever done. I think it's one of those stories that kind of is what makes Peter Parker who, you know, Spider-Man. You know, there's certain stories in the books that turn him into, that grow him as Spider-Man. So in this movie, it starts off and it starts off with this stuff going on with, it's the Rhino, but he's not Rhino yet. He's running around, driving around. He stole an Oscorp van and Spider-Man comes in joking just for no reason.
But that felt more like Spider-Man, just the quips while saving people.
No, that's my problem with it. It
you like
joking,
a dark brooding.
No, the joking is fine, but the reason that Peter Parker jokes is for one, he's nervous while he's fighting. It's just one of those it's his nervous habit. So while he's fighting with somebody, he jokes. Not when he's in a van in the back of it with nobody listening to him. He has no reason to be joking. He had reason to be doing what he had to be doing. So I thought that was odd.
He's warming up.
He's warming up his comedy routine. Yeah. I thought that was odd. The other reason he does it is to throw his enemies off. It throws his enemies off when he's fighting. So when he's doing that, that's fine. But when he just kept going on and on and on about joking, I was just like, this is too much. Like, it's a little overkill on the jokes here. That's why I did like him in the first movie better, because he told some jokes, but they were seemed to be at a time where it needed to be done.
Yeah.
The beginning of the movie was just joke after joke after, and they weren't funny. Like, they were just overkill. So that was my thing with that. So the beginning of the movie, basically the majority of the movie was just talking. Just complete, just blah, 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 blah. And I was, you know, everything. I don't know if he was really Spider-Man throughout the movie. We saw him at the beginning, and then we saw him at the end, but anywhere in the middle, I don't remember him being Spider-Man. I don't remember him doing anything.
It focused a lot on Harry, and, you know, and the thing about that, beyond the, okay, well, how did he get sick? So, why do I care about this kid? Mm-hmm. He just showed up, and, you know, he was Peter's friend 10 years ago for 10 minutes.
And he's sick. Like, well, his dad, they showed Norman Osborn, he's lying in bed, he's sick, and, like, that did not, the guy who had play him did not remind me of Norman Osborn at all. Like, even William Dafoe didn't really remind me of Norman Osborn, but he played a good Green Goblin, like, the voice, the look, and I thought it worked with it. And also with director, like, Sam Raimi, who's used to horror movies, I think that's where he was trying to go with that kind of look. Sorry, William Dafoe, okay, you know, call him a horror movie, but
no longer friend of the podcast.
Yeah, he's not listening. William Dafoe's like, ah!
Lost another one.
Yeah. So, yeah, just a lot of just talking, and then finally it gets to the scene, after a while, like, oh yeah, Max Dillon, like, first of all,
The most sympathetic villain ever.
Yeah. That did not remind me of Electro at all. Like, not at all. Not the bad guy part, not the Max Dillon part. Nothing reminded me of Electro in this.
Other than the electricity.
I have to agree with people. He was channeling Jim Carrey's The Riddler in order to do this part. Like, the beginning part where he's just, you know, waddling around, you know, all nerdy and whatnot. You know, as the stereotypical nerd. You know, did he have a pocket protector?
Of course.
You know, were his glasses taped together? Like,
well, they were askew the whole time.
They were askew, yeah. His just whole story, his creation, just was like, it was a really bad.
Electric eels bit him and gave him the power of electricity.
Electric eels bite people? Like, I don't even know that. But
I don't know. Stick your hand and go to the zoo and go to the electric eel.
They do have
electric
eels, don't they? Yeah.
How did Electro get his powers in the book?
He was electrocuted. He was a worker, just a regular worker guy at an electric company, and somehow got electrocuted.
But
not by getting electrocuted and then falling in with electric eels at the same time.
It seemed like overkill. Like, it was just like, then he fell. It felt like a cartoon. Like, he falls into electric eels, then he, you know, there's an electric fence surrounding him. He bounces off of it. It's it, you know.
Lightning, eel,
he had a
fence.
Battery in his pocket at the same time.
Sure enough, a lightning bolt hits the tank he's in. You know, it's just like, how can this happen?
Well, if it's just chemicals, you become the Flash. If it's electric eels, you become Electro.
That's right. Well, you know, it was almost like they were really trying really hard to turn him into Electro. they were just like, not yet. Hit him with another. No, just a really bad casting on that. I don't get that at all, of what they were trying to go for there. And then he had no...
Well, it's not necessarily bad casting.
Well, I don't know. I don't see Jamie Foxx as being Electro. I mean, you could... Basically, here's the thing.
They just wanted a big name.
Yeah, that's what they wanted. Yeah. But the thing is, you could have put anybody into that position, into the story that they wrote for him...
I'd agree. Yeah,
you
I'd
could
agree
have took Jim Carrey and put him into that scene.
It would have been any more goofy,
thing. Yeah. Yeah. It would have been the same thing. So, no.
William Dafoe? Oh, sorry.
No.
That just would have been scary.
It was scary. The teeth and the freeze going to bite you.
Should have Christopher Walken do it.
Yeah, Christopher Walken. That would be weird as the Green Goblin.
Spider-Man, I am going to...
That sounded more like William Shatner. Yeah. William Shatner is the Green Goblin. Today's William Shatner.
Yeah.
It just the whole Electro thing, and then his hatred for Spider-Man, and, you know, Colin was mentioning that too. Even he had to have the dumbest reason to hate Spider-Man. Like, he was just like, Spider-Man doesn't like me. I gotta electrocute everybody.
It wasn't even that Spider-Man didn't like him. Spider-Man forgot who he was.
Spider-Man forgot his birthday.
Everybody forgot who he was. Like, how is Spider-Man different?
If he got out more and
Spider-Man met him once.
Spider-Man. But his whole hatred for Spider-Man was mainly, it was filtered, but everybody else hated him. He wasn't really mad at Spider-Man, but, like, he thought Spider-Man was using him at that time when they tried to shoot him. That's what it was all about. And I was like, this is stupid. Like, it really was. It just not a very good villain at all for this. I thought the Lizard had more of a story to him when they did that. The action scenes were good. I thought it was a little heavy overkill on
the... You can read it with the punctuation.
I thought the overkill was a little... The 3D was a little overkill. I thought they were trying a little too much to emphasize, this was in 3D. Look, this thing's coming out at you, you know? It reminded me, I was saying earlier, it reminded me of the old amusement park rides that you used to go on, that you used to watch like a 3D movie or something. You used to have one at SeaWorld years ago that they gave you like glasses and, you know, stuff happened in it. I was like, this is what's happening. Like, they're just trying to emphasize, show 3D. It's 3D. So they could have put words above the screen that said, this isn't 3D, and I would have got it.
Instead of 3D being used to enhance the movie, the movies are in service of the 3D technology now.
Well, because you can charge $6 more for the ticket.
Then it was just a little too much put into, look how pretty this is. And it's obvious when... It's very obvious when the story is lacking. That's my problem with that.
Well,
you know? You know, Guardians of the Galaxy had a good story and a good special effect.
Yeah.
And it had a lot of special effects in the way, you know, but if it didn't have a good story and I was just watching all these people jumping around and all this 3D stuff going, I'd be like, this is boring.
Well, two of the main characters were just CGI, but you couldn't tell. You weren't taken out of the story by it.
Yeah. When I get that bored, I start studying the rest of the movie and I just start finding flaws in it.
Well, you can tell Guardians just had a singular vision of the director, and I don't know what kind of vision was in...
I think Spider-Man 2 was rushed because they had announced the date for the second one before the first one
came out.
Well,
and you know who I blame for that? I blame Sony for that. I blame Sony for that since the beginning of the Spider-Man movie franchise, the original. Amazing. That they had a good thing going for them. They gave it the second one, then they had to get involved. And now that they lost that, now they seem like they're a little too involved. And I think that's where it's screwing it up because...
well, and that's why the third one got pushed off. Now they're saying they want the Sinister Six to come out.
If they would have probably left alone the third movie, we probably would have had a decent third movie.
It would have been the Vulture with John Malkovich.
It would have been a different kind of feel to it. It would have probably been as similar to Spider-Man 2. But if you notice, there's similarities between Spider-Man 3 and these movies because they have an overkill of villains. They're trying to be more, they're hip, you know, they're trying to be more hip, and they're trying to, they have these weird villains just in their stories, and their backstories are just weird. Like how different is Electro falling into a pit of electric eels from Venom showing up on a space meteorite that comes out of nowhere? You know, it's the same thing. So my blame towards this movie really is the studio. I feel like Sony's just screwing this up completely. Now... What I was talking about before, really liking the story of the death of Gwen Stacy, that's what I was holding this movie to. And when it got to that scene when the Goblin shows up, which I have to say, the Goblin looked ridiculous.
Yeah, it looked like a guy with leprosy.
Yeah, he showed up, he's just like, and I'm just like, what is this? Like, I didn't even know what he was saying half the time, you know? And I was
and
just like,
Goblin.
He had like locked.
I don't remember him going, yeah.
He did. He when he shows
that
up
was
on
Merle.
The glider, he just sits there and he just is just like laughing, and it's this really weird like soft laughing. Well, at first he comes in like hard laughing, and then he's just like when he figures out that it's Peter. Which I don't know how nobody has figured out that he's not Peter Parker too. That's the other thing. He does so much to show off that he's Spider-Man while dressed as Peter Parker. I don't know. Like, when he's at Oscorp and he uses his web and he grabs, like, a cup of coffee or something. And I was just like, yeah, Oscorp doesn't have security cameras all over their building.
No one's looking at them.
Nobody's staring at him doing it. He did this so many times. And then when he sprays, Webb shoots, "I love you," and then he, like, grabs Gwen and takes her to, and walks around with her, and they're bickering back and forth, and I'm like, nobody's figuring out, okay, Spider-Man has a girlfriend here, are we not going to study who this is in this day and age? You know, just weird things like that. But anyways, the whole death of Gwen Stacy thing, I feel like they got it pretty right, as much as they were going to. It had the feel, I thought Andrew Garfield did good with the emotion of when she died, because that was basically, if you go back and read that story, that's how he did. He broke down, like, mentally right then. And he was actually going to go kill Norman Osborn. Like, that was his plan.
He did.
Well, he didn't do it.
It was there.
It was Norman Osborn. He was involved. Norman Osborn. Which, I have to say, the movie, the original Spider-Man movie, got that right. Yeah, because that's exactly how Norman Osborn was killed originally. So, yeah, they got that right. I was a little happier about that. I was watching, and I said, this isn't too bad. I thought the action sequence between the Green Goblin and him was... I don't know. Did they but you love the Green Goblin in it?
You love the scene at the power station against Electro, right?
Yeah.
Where the webs were holding together those giant electrical cables.
Yeah. Yes.
Conducting electricity through them.
Yeah, seems legit.
First of all, what?
And
what kind of power plant was that? Like,
and
seriously.
And Gwen knew exactly how to control it, too. She's brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, that's why she was the top kid at the science.
She's so brilliant, she should have stayed where she was and she wouldn't be dead. Anyways, but yeah, that the Green Goblin fight in that weird clock tower, I guess it was. I don't know.
It was something weird.
It had a bunch of gears.
Lots of moving gears. Yeah.
But I thought that scene, though, the fighting scene, the whole thing, I thought they added up, right? It was a new adaptation of her death and stuff. I thought that was fine. I thought that was fine. But so I said, you know, I was ending this movie on a higher note. So my level of liking it went up a little bit. And then that Rhino scene comes on. And I'm just like, what is this? Like, he comes out in a mecha suit or something that looks nothing like a rhino until
kids being allowed by police to run into
danger. And then the
danger.
Kid, well, the kid runs out into this. The gangster, or Rhino, he just says, oh, you know, are you Spider-Man? And he was just playing with him or whatever. And then Spider-Man, his thought process, what he thought would be a good idea, was to jump behind the kid. Because it's not like you would have startled... You know, this criminal who had, you know, machine guns by jumping right in the middle of the whole thing, and he wasn't just gonna, you know, open fire on anything in front of him. So, no, that was the genius idea. Instead of, I don't know, showing up behind him or something.
Well, the other nice thing is the crowd was protected by the barricade.
Yes, because when you see big guys in robot costumes with lots of weapons,
that's
you come running
problem.
Up two barricades that magically get set
that's
up.
That's my other problem with the movie. There were a lot of stupid people surrounding these events. The battle with Electro, it's almost like they put on a show. Like, MTV showed up, and they were just like, we better put barricades. Everybody can watch this.
Well, apparently that staircase is there, because I did question that. I'm like, so there's just stairs in the middle of
Times Square,
and somebody said, yeah. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. But, you know, but everything else, like, what are these people doing here? There's a guy, and he's shooting electricity and blowing things up. What are you doing here? And then he... hits the ground and all these cop cars like shoot all over the place, and I'm like, you guys are still here?
I've never seen electricity do that, though.
Never. But I've never seen an Electro, so I'll give them that.
That's true.
You didn't get bit by eels.
Get bit by eels.
Well, no, I've gotten bit by eels. I've been electrocuted, but not at the same time.
By eels, it hurts. They bite you and you get a cut. That's it. They don't give you electric powers.
You forgot the worst part was his parents.
Oh, that, you know what, that was
everything involving his parents was just
horribly done.
Yes.
Well, no, but the most horrible part is they actually put a scene in the deleted scenes where his father comes back and talks to him about how, oh, I've been watching you be Spider-Man all this time. Okay, stop.
I missed
time out.
That.
Well, no, you didn't miss
I didn't see deleted. I didn't get the DVD.
No, I didn't either, but they put the scene out there. No. Spider-Man doesn't get to meet his father later, and his father... No, that's not how that works.
Did you
works.
Find my heavy calculator?
Are we seriously saying that he's still alive?
In the deleted scene, yeah.
So is he the guy in the raincoat?
That I don't know.
Because that would be ridiculous. That really would.
I can't see how that would...
Because I didn't even watch the deleted scenes. I'd care less.
Well, now you're going to go home and watch it.
No, I already took the movie back.
Oh.
I immediately took that movie back. I didn't want to have it. Yeah, I don't
want
to...
Sir, I want my dollar back.
Yeah. No, you know what?
I did.
I'll have to say, I did get the Blu-ray, so I paid $2.
Oh.
So I wasn't going
to
pay $4. Because
you wanted to see all that crap in high definition.
Yes.
I gave them a chance. I did.
You know what, though? It was the highest rated Spider-Man movie this year.
It shouldn't have been. Oh, this year? Well, that other one that was out. One problem I've had completely with this both movies is Aunt May. She could have been an extra. It wouldn't even make any difference. She could be just in the background and say, Aunt May, I'm going somewhere. Bye. I wouldn't have cared because, first of all, Sally Field does a horrible job
of being Aunt May.
Of being an actress. The only thing I definitely remember,
we lost Sally Field and Burt Reynolds. Yeah,
I remember two movies her being from. One, which is a movie I like, which is Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah.
But again, she didn't need to be there. Two, she was a Mrs. Doubtfire. But
I was thinking Forrest Gump. I forgot myself.
Yeah, she was
I forgot about Forrest Gump, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Never saw The Flying Nun.
Murphy's Romance? Come on.
She would have been able to take Electro down better as The Flying Nun. Might as well have been The Flying Nun.
The Flying Nun versus Electro.
So boring in this. Like, there is no... Like, I thought the Aunt May from the other movie... First of all, she felt like it was Aunt May. Second...
She nagged like Aunt May.
She acted like Aunt May. She was Aunt May. They could have just, for a Spider-Man movie, two people
but
that
they've
taken like out of
Aunt
that
May,
movie.
She was older.
That felt like they actually pulled him out of a comic book. One, Aunt May. Two, J. Jonah Jameson.
Oh, yeah.
Both felt like those characters. And I think my biggest problem with these movies, they don't feel like Spider-Man. And I think the movies felt like the comic book, where... How do you have a Spider-Man movie without J. Jonah Jameson?
How animated he is
and how he just feels. And how do you have, Aunt May not... it's just so moody, And then she was like, put all your stuff in a box and like stick it up
hide
in the
away,
attic
yeah,
or something.
Hide away your emotions.
And he's just like, don't...
Smash
know,
the calculator and your answers will reveal themselves.
Yeah, your 10-pound calculator that you never noticed.
Go find the secret hidden underground lab that's in a train
Roosevelt.
Car.
Roosevelt. Yeah,
that's actually under the train tracks. And that actually had nothing in there to tell you anything about anything.
No. It just had that video.
It was a super duper secret lab.
Yes. That he gave up his life and his wife's life to send that message.
What's funny is, time didn't add up in that. Because, when he left, Peter was, this little kid. And they had, Sony Trinitron monitors in there. And I was just like, those computers wouldn't have had when he was that age. It didn't... That was just a tiny little thing that I was nitpicking.
If his dad was alive, he was going back and upgrading the system.
Oh, okay, maybe Oscorp.
He didn't have any tokens.
Maybe Oscorp had... What was that? Yeah. And a subway train that comes... Wait, who built this thing? Who built this subway train that comes out of the ground?
We need to close on this line for...
Yeah.
He did by hand.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't want to just do it in a storage.
I've always questioned how Bruce
storage
Wayne
locker somewhere
built the Batcave. So that's another thing. Because did he hand do it or
Alfred?
He's like, Alfred, build me a cave.
How did the Empire build a Death Star and no one knew?
The Force.
They thought it was a moon.
That's not a moon.
But that's Spider-Man. Whatever. Too Amazing Spider-Man. Too. And.
Your favorite Spider-Man
movie
of the year?
That has to be my least favorite Spider-Man movie ever.
I'm going to run out and wait for HBO to have it.
Okay.
And then I'll watch it.
Now, on a brighter note, The Muppets came out. You can go watch it.
No, we're not talking about The Muppets.
Tina Fey's in it.
Enough.
Yay!
Stop.
Okay.
Now, there will not be a podcast next week because I want everybody here, everybody who's listening needs to be here, because Tribe One is coming and doing one of the comic book rap concerts. Now, Tribe One came with Adam Warlock. I don't know if it was the last time or maybe the time before last.
I think it was the last time.
That he was here, and he was a lot of fun.
Because Adam Warlock didn't come the last time.
Well, he bailed, but I'm saying the last time Adam Warlock was here. So it was a lot of fun. So please be here. It's a free concert. I'm paying for it. It's just a lot of fun. So come out. You don't have to be, I'm not into rap. Well, it doesn't matter. It's just funny music. Comic book related songs. So please come out. I like to have, lots of people here. If there's four people, it looks
a little... And it's free.
It's sad, but it's free. So please come out. I mentioned get your preview stuff in. And here's what's coming next week. Now, it's funny. The more I do this, the less I tend to highlight on the invoice. Only because it's a lot of, Adventures of Superman 16. And, you know, Aquaman 34, nothing, Aquaman, you know, super exciting to talk about. Avengers has an original Sin tie-in, but that's like the fourth one, so it's, you know, nothing.
And that's why your Avengers books aren't selling. It's an attitude like that.
I'm sorry, you're right. But Bob's Burgers number one is coming. I've never watched the show, but hey. Bodies number two, that's a Vertigo book. The first one was quite interesting. I have a lot on the shelf. I'll probably mark them down, so they might be on sale.
Who's doing Bob's Burgers?
I don't know.
I was thinking it was probably like Boom or something.
Yeah, one of those guys. I'm not sure. It only tells me the big guys on that.
Do you think you have a lot of those because they were damaged the first?
Yeah, I think that's what happened. All my copies were damaged for the first week, so I may have sold some damaged ones. Also, sometimes Vertigo, you know, they're doing things where they're doing like 1 in 13 variants. So I ordered 13, or maybe I ordered 26 to get two variants. So that one just didn't take off. But again, it's a problem where if they're damaged the first week, they just kind of sit,
yeah,
and people are waiting. And then by the time I get the good ones in, they've moved on, or you have a, you know, bigger week. Like last week was huge. You put some stuff back. You know, is there a chance you'll pick it up next time? Yeah, probably not. So, Highlighted Brainstorm. I'm not exactly sure what that is, but it's a number one.
And it's called Brainstorm.
It's called Brainstorm. Yeah, and I forgot. Doctor Who, number two, is coming out. The 10th Doctor, which is kind of funny, being that the 12th Doctor premieres next on Saturday.
Is the 13th one the Silver Surfer?
Yes. Face Value, number one, is coming out. That's a book not about autism, but dealing with autism or a character with autism, so... Just, you know, one of those responsible, important books. The Fuse number one, the trade's coming out of that. An Image trade, $9.99. Those are always at least a good deal.
I read the first couple issues of that.
I read the first one. Yeah.
It was interesting, but I think there was so much coming out the next time. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what happened with me, is it was like, I got to cut something to not get yelled at.
It didn't grab me enough.
It wasn't me. I don't have anything on the table. Which is kind of funny. I realize they can't all coordinate, but it, like, this would have been a great week for a couple number ones. Like, Fade Out was perfect to come out this week because there was, like, nothing else big coming out so people can give it a try. Same with Little Nemo. So sometimes it's good to have a low week to get something good out.
Every time you say that, I think of a clownfish, and I know that that's not what it is.
Little Nemo.
That's...
Hero Cats is a kid book coming out from Action Lab, our friends at Action Lab. Inhuman number four, woo! They're rolling out.
I thought Inhuman number 7 was coming out.
No, I'm ordering Inhuman number 7. Jessica Jones Pulse Complete Collection is coming out, and that's what I'm guessing that's going to tie in with the Netflix show.
Yeah.
That's why they're getting that out here. Low number 2. Had a nice long email to Diamond today. When low number 1 came out, I think 25 of my 40 were damaged. I reported them damaged, and I've still yet to receive those 25 copies. Second print of number one is coming out next week. Well, I didn't order any second prints of number one because I have 25
damaged.
I'm waiting for. But at this point, am I going to get them? Maybe, maybe not. And that was kind of what the point of my letter to Diamond was basically, we need to know. You know, you got to give us a better idea. Just because it was on my initial order, they were damaged, I haven't gotten anything, and now I've already missed the window for second prints.
Yeah.
Not my fault. You know, I ordered timely, so...
You didn't upset Diamond on the podcast, did you?
I don't think so. But it was just basically, hey, there needs to be something where you can say, hey, this went to back order.
You're not going to get it till the second
print. It's not likely you're going to get it.
Hasn't that happened a few times lately?
Yeah.
Where they've just kind of not told you?
Here's the same thing. Did they switch you over to the second print?
No, they don't do that automatically. And not that I... Like,
well, they did that with Armor Hunters
did that, where my... Number two first prints were all damaged, and instead of sending me replacement of those, I got second prints instead. Not ideal, but still better than this were. Now I have 40 number twos coming.
And no number ones.
I have no number ones, and I've only ever sold 15 and have no possibility of selling more than 15 number twos. I'm kind of screwed. Another problem I mentioned was your problem. My replacement of the Philly Fanatic is coming next week.
Mm.
But I had to... The box was crushed when Pat Special ordered it. The box came crushed. I reported it as damaged because I have to report the damages Tuesday, and Pat couldn't come in to buy it until Wednesday when I can sell it. Well, he didn't care. He's taking it out of the box, so that didn't matter, so I reported it damaged. When I had to send my damage replacements back last week, or this week. I sent them back Tuesday. They had to be back there. I had to ship them by Tuesday. And so I just marked on it next to it sold, meaning please charge me for this. Even though you gave me a credit, it's been a month. We still haven't gotten my replacement. Yeah. I don't know if it's coming. So I, you know, didn't want to ask him to bring it back and never get one. That doesn't make sense. So, but now my replacement's coming after. I said, the worst part is, it's like them, because they're based out of, outside Baltimore, it's like you guys getting, next store out there getting extra cowboy stuff.
Yeah.
I'm never going to sell a Philly Fanatic bobblehead here in the store.
Not unless you get someone else that happens to be from Philly
right,
around here.
But
yeah,
I put that on the shelf, people are going to be looking at me like,
well, maybe
what are
not.
You doing?
Maybe.
If I had a pirate parrot one next to it, maybe, but that one by itself is going to be a
Did
little...
Did they sell a pirate parrot?
No, they didn't.
No. So I just kind of sent an email just saying, you guys got to do a little better coordinating. Don't ask me for... I shouldn't have to return my damages before I get the replacements.
Just give me the replacement.
Or at least let me know if the replacement is coming or not, because I should have had that replacement. That was at least 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think it was like a month ago.
Yeah, so it's just... So, just my little venting today. Pop is one from Dark Horse about what if superheroes were pop stars... And having to deal with...
Isn't that one of the multiversity ones?
That it is, yeah. So, new previews next week. Let's see, Secret Origins 5. I didn't look to see who was in it, but those are, people have been enjoying those. Those have been going quick. Another one from Action Lab is Shinobi Ninja Princess. Because, number one, it's a must-have. Must-read. No, Silver Surfer 5, Adam.
Yeah.
The Continuing Adventures of Dr. Surfer.
You should have canceled that off my list.
No.
Yeah.
I don't do that.
No, you have to buy it.
Yep.
On your list forever.
I'm about to bring a big magnet, put it on his computer.
I don't think that'd be a good idea.
Bring an Electro.
I watched Breaking Bad. I know what those big magnets do. They put the truck right up against the...
Speaking of that, did you guys see...
I did. That was hilarious. What kind of dog is it?
Bitch.
Sundowners number one. That's a new one from Dark Horse. Not sure. Yeah, I should look up the solicits so I have a better idea.
Come on,
what
Colin.
There were 10 of them, so it's got to be something
that's it.
Fairly
that's
important.
That's a podcast.
Superman 34, the next one of the Johns Romita book. That last one I thought was good. Wayward number one. A new number one from Image, so that's going to be huge because it's Image number one. And Wolverine number 12. The issue before the death of
the
Wolverine.
The pentultimate issue.
The pentultimate, and then I think Death of Wolverine ships on the 3rd, because I just got postcards saying that the 3rd...
You have a Death of Wolverine party?
It's a memorial.
It's a wake.
And we'll see if I'm getting any of this stuff that will determine
how come
Wolverine
how come
ever...
Marvel's not giving us cards
yeah, that's
on
the, that is the last issue of Wolverine ever, because he's dying.
You'll never see
There will never
Wolverine
be another
again.
Number one.
Nope,
no.
Certainly not when X-Men Apocalypse comes out, or...
They'll bring in his Ultimate Universe son into the box.
Yeah. So, also, we're working on the basement sale, slowly.
But you got Adam working on it. He's pretty slow.
Well, I need to... One of the things... Tony is helping me, and he wants to get everything up on tables, so I need to go get more tables. I forget. He gave me a list of what I need, but it wasn't... It was like 5 6-footers and 3 8-footers, so...
What about the ones you had up here?
Yeah, that's including those.
Ooh.
Yeah. So...
Is there going to be enough space
Yeah,
there
because...
That?
Yeah, it's worked out. So that's coming, and also my 8th anniversary that I totally blanked on is coming up. I opened up the Tuesday.
What
I opened
the
up
hell?
The
a train in here.
Let's get out of here.
It's a spectral locomotive.
Somebody who can't go to sleep.
Doc Green.
I opened up the Tuesday after Labor Day back in 2006, so upcoming is going to be my 8th anniversary, and it kind of dawned on me today that I need to do something.
But you're getting
about that.
Old?
No, I've known for a long time.
75% off sale?
Yeah, 75% off everything on that Monday that I'm closed, yes.
Everything that's marked with an 8 at the end.
So if you can get in the store...
Yes, it's 75. Yeah,
oh,
bring yourself up.
If I can get into the store, it's going to be 100% off. Yeah.
So that's coming. Keep your eyes open for more info as I figure out what the heck I'm doing. It's so funny. Somebody came in asking me about what I was doing for the Halloween party, and I just looked at her.
Really?
Like, are you Well, she's going to be going out of town like that Friday to some Wizard World thing, I'm guessing out in Columbus. And so she was asking if I was going to do the Halloween party before or after Halloween. And I'm saying, well, probably before Halloween. It seems a little silly to do it in November. But yeah. I'm like,
it's the day that
I haven't even begun to think about October.
He'll probably do exactly what he does all the time for this Halloween party.
Yeah, well, costume, you know, it works. Yeah, but it was just so funny. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing next week, and you're asking me what I'm doing at the end of October.
He doesn't know what he's doing around at a comic book store.
Well, no, I wing it. It's a seat in my pants every day, man. So, I think that's good. We're almost at the 2-hour mark again. No, hour and 40.
Do you want to keep going?
No. It's like, quarter to 10. I'm sure somebody's wondering, who the heck is he? And I'm talking about Josh.
Pat wants to talk about his feelings.
They're all asleep in my house.
I don't have feelings.
There we go. I said, there we go. It's a podcast.
Oh, okay. I heard he doesn't have feelings, and you went, podcast! That's all I heard. I'm like...
Well, he said I wanted to talk about my feelings. I said, I don't have feelings.
Gotcha. Okay. So we won't talk to you next week, but please come down.
So does that mean if people come in here, you won't talk to them? You'll, like, turn your back to them and ignore them the whole time?
He does that usually.
That's ignorant.
No, I won't.
No wonder why you don't have customers.
But please come down and for the free concert that I'm paying for.
Yeah.
So,
all music, no talk.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Serious music.
All rock. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Buildings in a single bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. All I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America. Winter soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in the coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build a mansion in Asgard. And from the Hellfire Society, studio with Cerebro, mind patterns and rhyme, cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take you back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets, demand things when I speak, like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's keeping on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like. That's how we do it in the 616.
Hey yo, Vince, drop the beat out. I'm gonna go Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah.
Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will battle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time, watch your chain react. Can't lie, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it, yo. Please, shots to your chest. You're rocking a vest like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm Rob when I skip lunch. Eating rappers, man, so thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest. Making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up.